Ramsgohal Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nishananda Sri Advaita Gadara Joshi Lord Bhakta Vim Diki Jai Shri Sri Radha Krishna Bhava Govara Shama Pandurada Kuri Giri Govardhan Ki Jai Shri Vrindavan Dham Ki Jai Napadup Dham Ki Jai Gangta Manatol Sri Bhakti Devi Ki Jai Ananda Vodhi Vaishnava Vim Diki Jai Samabhata Bhakta Vim Diki Jai Go Premanandi All glories to Samadha Vodhis All glories to Samadha Vodhis All glories to Samadha Vodhis All glories to Shri Guru Shri Guru All glories to Shri Guru Prabhupada Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya
Om Namo Bhagavate
Vasudevaya
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya
Om Namo Vishnupadaya Krishna Krishna Gurudaya Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swami Muchinamane Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Prasadane Nirvishesha Shanivari Paschacharya Shachadane Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadara Shri Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna Krishna Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Shri Prabhupada Galaxy Chapter 7 Verse 1 Rajavacha Kasa Deku Parichakta
Kaisya Deta Parichakta
Achayena Manasura
Achayena Manasura
Eta Chakshva Bhagavan
Eta Chakshva Bhagavan
Vishyanam Akram Guru
Vishyanam Akram Guru Sri Raja Bhakra Sri Raja Bhakra Krishna Ketana Pariyasutala Vishyanam
For what reason Parityakta rejected Acharyena by the spiritual master Brihaspati Atmana of himself Sura demigods Nita this Chakshva kindly describe Bhagavan O great sage Sishyanam of the disciples Akramam offense Guru unto the spiritual master. Translation Maharaj Parikshit inquired from Sukadev Goswami, O great sage, why did the spiritual master, demigods Brihaspati, reject the demigods who were his own disciples? What offense did the demigods commit against their spiritual master? Please describe to me this incident. Prabhupada Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur comments, the seventh chapter describes how Brihaspati was offended by the demigods, how he left them and the demigods were defeated, and how the demigods, following the instructions of Lord Brahma, accepted Vishwarupa as the priest to perform their sacrifice. Sukadeva Goswami said, O King, once upon a time the King of Heaven Indra, being extremely proud because of his great opulence to the three worlds, transgressed the law of Vedic etiquette. Seated on his throne, he was surrounded by the Maruts, Vasus, Rudras, Adityas, Rabhus, Ishvadev, Sadhyas, Vasini Kumaras, Siddhas, Charanas, and Vidarvas, and by great saintly persons. Also surrounding him were the Vidyadharas, Apsaras, Kinaras, Hatagas, and Uragas. All of them were offering Indra their respects and services, and the Apsaras and Gandharvas were dancing and singing with very sweet musical instruments. Over Indra's head was a white umbrella as effulgent as the full moon. Fanned by yak-tail wisps and served by all paraphernalia of a great king, Indra was sitting with his wife, Sachi Devi, who occupied half the throne when the great sage Brihaspati appeared in that assembly. Brihaspati, the best of sages, was the spiritual master of Indra and the demigods and was respected by the demigods and demons alike. Nevertheless, although Indra saw his spiritual master before him, he did not rise from his own seat or offer his seat to his spiritual master, nor did Indra offer him a respectful welcome. Indra did nothing to show him respect. Brihaspati knew everything that would happen in the future. Seeing Indra's transgression of etiquette, he completely understood that Indra was puffed up by his material opulence. Although able to curse Indra, he did not do so. Instead, he left the assembly and in silence returned to his home. Indra, king of heaven, could immediately understand his mistake. Realizing he had disrespected his spiritual master, he condemned himself in the presence of all the members of the assembly. Alas, what a regrettable deed I have committed because of my lack of intelligence and my pride in my material opulences. I failed to show respect to my spiritual master when he entered this assembly, and thus I have insulted him. Although I am king of the demigods who were situated in the mode of goodness, I was proud of a little opulence and polluted by false ego. Under the circumstances, who in this world would accept such riches at the risk of falling down? Alas, I condemn my wealth and opulence. Purport Chaitanya Mahaprabhu prayed to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, O my Lord, I do not aspire for material opulence or wealth, nor do I want a great number of followers to accept me as their leader, nor do I want a very beautiful wife to please me. I do not want even liberation. All I want life after life is to be a faithful servant of your lordship. According to the laws of nature, when one is extremely opulent, one becomes degraded. And this is true both individually and collectively. The demigods are situated in the mode of goodness, but sometimes even one who is situated in such an exalted position as King Indra, the king of all the demigods, falls down because of material opulence. We are now actually seeing this in America. The entire American civilization has tried to advance material opulence without striving to produce the ideal human beings. The result is that Americans are now regretting the wholesale criminality of American society and are wondering how America has become so lawless and unmanageable. As stated in Srimad Bhagavatam, Natavidu Svartagatam Vishnum, persons who are unenlightened do not know the aim of life, which is to return home back to Godhead. Therefore, both individually and collectively try to enjoy so-called material comforts and become addicted to wine and women. The men produced in such a society are less than fourth class. They are the unwanted population known as Varna Sankara, and as stated in Bhagavad Gita, an increase in Varna Sankara population creates a hellish society. This is the society in which America now finds themselves. Fortunately, however, the Hare Krishna movement has come to America. Many fortunate young men are giving serious attention to this movement, which is creating ideal men of first-class character, men who completely refrain from meat-eating, illicit sex, intoxication, and gambling. If the American people are serious about curbing the degraded criminal life of their nation, they must take to the Christian consciousness movement and try to create the kind of human society advised in the Bhagavad Gita. They must divide their society into first-class men, second-class men, third-class men, and fourth-class men. Instead of now creating only men who are less than fourth class, how can they avoid the dangers of criminal society? Long, long ago, Lord Indra regretted his disrespect to his spiritual master, Brihaspati. Similarly, it is advised that the American people regret their mistake of advancement in civilization. They should take advice from the spiritual master, the representative of Krishna. If they do not, if they do so, they will be happy and theirs will be an ideal nation to lead the entire world. Translation of the I am King of the Demigods, who are situated in the mode of goodness, I am proud of a little opulence and polluted by false ego. Under the circumstances, who in this world would accept such riches at the risk of falling down? Alas, I condemn my wealth and opulence. So, here we have a story of how Brihaspati is offended. And this is also the story of Vritrasura, the beginning of the story of Vritrasura. So, all of these verses merely indicate the principle that wealth can be very dangerous, because by wealth one becomes proud, and if one becomes proud, then one will show disrespect. And of course that disrespect, if shown to the particular person, can be very detrimental. We see this is the case also with persons like two Devatas, who were the sons of Kuvera, and they offended Narada Muni because they were also in a very high, wealthy position of enjoyment, and they didn't respect him when he appeared and they were in the water with some heavenly women. So the comment there is again that because of wealth, they became blinded and they lost their intelligence, and therefore they could not give proper respect to Narada. So that, of course, is the case here. Also, we see with Brihaspati, though he's not so exalted as Narada Muni, nevertheless, he was guru for the devatas, including Indra. And Indra should have shown proper respect. But he didn't, because he was overcome by his wealth and his pride. On the other hand, we see someone like Krishna was completely unattached to all of his wealth. When Narada Muni came to Dwarka, immediately he welcomed him and offered respects, etc. Or even when the Brahmana Sridhama came, who was his friend but wasn't brahminical, then he offered respects to him in a very respectful way. So the Supreme Lord, though he owns everything, is completely without attachment to anything and simply likes to worship and respect his devotees. The materialist, on the other hand, becomes overcome by his wealth and his position and power, etc. And he loses all intelligence and ability to understand the value of spiritual life. So the acquisition of wealth can be very detrimental to a person because it can cover up his intelligence and make him lose interest in spiritual life and disrespect the devotees, etc. However, we see cases where this is not so. For Krishna, of course, it is natural. But we see that great devotees also can have great wealth, but also be great devotees. And we have many examples in the Bhagavatam. In the third and fourth cantos, we find many great kings, like Priyavrata, or Swayambhuva Manu, and all these and their descendants like Dhruva. They were not overcome by their position and power and wealth, etc. They often showed reluctance to accept those positions because they may affect their devotion, but nevertheless they did so, and they had no ill effects from that. And of course we have other cases like the Pandavas or Parikshit or Ambarish. They had no ill effects from the position they were granted. So it's not necessarily a problem, this wealth and power, etc. But nevertheless, one has to be very careful. So therefore, in bhakti, we do have weeds in devotional service. This is mentioned by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Chaitanya Charitamrita. So puja, pratishta, etc. are called weeds, which means that if one becomes attracted to certain material things, they can impede the progress of bhakti. Just like if the gardener, the owner, plants some nice plants, but he doesn't take care of the garden, weeds will grow up. And if the weeds become very profuse, then the plant that they're trying to grow may actually wither and die due to neglect. So, in the same way, if we cultivate weeds, that is, we become overly materially attracted when we're doing bhakti, then that can impede the progress of devotion. Devotional people will not grow properly, or may stop growing, or may wither away. So therefore we have to be careful of these weeds. Of course, what happens happens is, through the process of bhakti, the two maidservants follow bhakti around, that is bhakti and mukti. Which means that in the progress of bhakti, one may be offered many material things and material comforts, etc. So of course the devotee is very wary of these things and very careful that he doesn't become attached to these things. But if he happens to get attracted too much, then this becomes a problem. It becomes a weed in devotional service. So the devotee has to be careful of that. Nevertheless, as I said, we have great examples of kings, etc., who, in spite of the wealth and power, etc., they did not become affected. So it is possible also to, due to the strength of bhakti, to not be affected by these different things. So, this of course is by the mercy of the Lord and the strength of bhakti that this can happen. So, especially for those who are in a lower position in bhakti, then they have to be careful that the weeds do not grow up, they do not become attracted to different material things. And instead they seriously, simply practice the devotional principles. But we do have the principle of yukta vairagya. Instead of rejecting things, we use them in the service of the Lord. So that principle is acceptable if one is careful to use the things in the service of the Lord. But where these things do not become used for the Lord, then they actually become dangerous for that particular person. They become weeds. So therefore the devotee has to be careful to balance out the material acquisitions and power and prestige and wealth, etc., against the progress of bhakti, and see what is favorable, see what is unfavorable, and act accordingly. So, wealth and power are not necessarily unfavorable, but they can be, particularly for people who are not advanced, for people who are not devotees at all. So Prabhupada here gives the case of people in America, but of course that doesn't apply only to America, it applies anywhere in the world. If they become very wealthy, then the tendency is they are attached to that wealth and absorbed in that enjoyment. Consequently, they have very little interest in spiritual things. And consequent to that, if they happen to see the devotees, they will disrespect the devotees or offend the devotees. So this is very detrimental for them. People who are not devotees and have wealth, wealth is very dangerous for them because it keeps them blinded in the material world. If one has the good fortune to have developed bhakti, then there is some hope that with the progress of bhakti, even if he does have material assets, he will not be so attached to those things and therefore will not be blinded and will continue the process of bhakti in spite of the wealth, etc. So, therefore the things can be used for the Lord, very fine. Most things can be used for the Lord. Some things cannot be used for the Lord also. So those things we have to be very, very careful of. Some things can be used for the Lord, but we have to be careful that it's for the Lord and not for ourselves. And then we can still continue with the progress of devotion. If one does the bhakti, then one can get anything in the material world, one can get liberation. These things are available to the devotee. Liberation is already achieved by bhakti, and everything in Swargaloka is already achieved by the devotee also. So, if one wants these things, then the Lord can give these things to the devotee.
obviously, if they're attached, then they will take another birth and be attached again.